So our meeting format calls for a guest speaker followed by open discussion. Our guest speaker will share for between 30 and 45 minutes before calling on people to share. During the open discussion portion of the meeting, we ask that you keep in mind there's a lot of people here and online. We'd like to give everybody a chance to participate. At this point, it is my pleasure to introduce Linda Jay from, you're from Springville, right?
From Portugal.
I don't know where Linda's from, but she's here tonight. You do go to Megan's Portugal. So that's where I've met her, is with the Springville and Portugal crew. She's from Paisley, represented. So, good luck, huh?
Hi, I'm Linda, an alcoholic. Here to share my experience, strength, and hope. What happened, and what's like, you know. So, growing up, I grew up in a very dysfunctional household. My dad, I would say, was a functioning alcoholic. Part of my story has drugs in it. So when I was 12, I started smoking pot, and basically I was just self-medicating because things at home were not, well, they probably should have been, but besides the point, growing up, I can remember when I was like, well, at one point, when I was 15, my parents decided, since I wasn't going to school, was ditching too much, that they would send me to Oregon to live with my aunt. So I lived with my aunt in Oregon for like 6 months. And during that 6 months, I didn't do anything wrong there. I didn't smoke pot, I didn't drink for anything. They also didn't let me go to school, so that was kind of, you know, kind of messing up a little bit with schooling. But anyways, came back home and basically it was the same old thing. So I, you know, whenever I get a chance to go do something fun, I'd go do it. And so I'd get home and then I'd be on restriction for however long. So that kind of just went that way. I'd get off restriction and I'd get right back on. So, you know, it just never was easy. So, eventually I got a job. They told me I had a job, and I would party on the weekends, and then like Friday and Saturday night, and then Sundays I would kind of recoup so I could go back to work on Monday. And I remember drinking and having blackouts probably like when I was 17, but that's when I started working. At that age, so I remember having blackouts, you know, from drinking. Later on, I got in a relationship with the person I'm married to today, and we were young, and I got pregnant, and things just didn't go the way I thought they would go. Not that I planned on getting pregnant, but we broke up for a while, and he did his thing, and I did my thing, and we ended up getting back together later on. And they have different boys today. But what happened was, I was using meth, and I was trying to get myself clean, and all I remember is sleeping. And so my husband and his parents came and did an intervention on me and told me, you know, it's no. I just ended up going to the hospital and some other things. And somebody telling me that they're going to take our kids away. And so I don't know how long I was in the hospital. I don't know how long I was sleeping. I ended up, my husband told me, I found this rehab, either you can go to this rehab, or you have to move out. So I, he said that you have to call. So I called and went to this place out in Arizona. And at that time, he even He even got on the airplane with me, took me out there, and I still treated him like shit. Like, how dare you take me, you know, basically to rehab. And looking back, I could see what a witch I was then, you know, in that moment. And so I just remember running upstairs to go to my room, and this counselor met me in the hallway and had these piercing blue eyes, and he said, "What's going on? What's wrong?" And so I told him, you know, that my husband was on the airplane to go home, and I treated him poorly, and so that he took me in his office and he allowed me to call my house and talk to somebody that was at my house and give him a message that I was sorry for treating him that way. And, you know, so I ended up staying at rehab, I think 45 days, was a 30-day program. And I remember sharing, I had system duty, and I remember sharing that I, you know, with my group, my story, and then they had to give me feedback, and the feedback was all, "You're in denial still," you know, and all this stuff, and I was just like, I totally had a meltdown inside my mind, like a nervous breakdown, I guess that's what you call it. And I remember trying to go do my kitchen duty, and my head was just so crazy because I think it cracked that denial, you know? And, but I didn't know that at the time. So, anyway, time goes on, and there were men and women in this, you know, recovery home. And you weren't allowed to talk to the men, you know, guys during that crap. And there was something going on with a diamond girl, and nobody was coming clean with it. And I didn't know a whole lot about what was going on, but I knew what was going on, who it was going on with. And they basically told us if somebody didn't come up and tell them what was going on, that they were going to just clean house and everybody was going to get kicked out. So they were doing drug testing and everything on everybody. And then, so I guess I had gone downstairs to sleep that night, and I was talking to the guy at the desk, and, you know, I was just like, you know, what's going to happen? And he said, "They're serious. They're really going to kick everybody out." So I came clean and told him what I knew. And a bunch of people got kicked out, and people that stayed, they were so pissed at me because they're like, "Why are you, you know, dragging everybody off and all that stuff?" And I just didn't want to go home and, you know, not get anything from it. So anyways, I went through that. And then I came back home. Remember, I'm in Arizona, and I came home back to, I lived in Ontario at the time. And then I had to start going to meetings. I didn't know anybody in my area. And it was just hard, you know? So they told you, don't hang out with old people and all that stuff. And I still had some friends that I wanted to hang out with, and I didn't realize until I experienced it myself that one was too many and 1,000 was not enough. And I thought I could just go get loaded, do a couple lines, and that would be okay, you know, and I'd be, you know, whatever. It wouldn't be that big of a deal. Well, then it got in my system, and then I was offering again, and then I wanted it. So I had 5.5 months, and then I relapsed. And I think I was out there for like, I went in October to rehab the first time, and then when I went back, I went again in October. My first son's birthday is in October, so I missed two of his birthdays. He was 9 the first time and 10 the second time. So, anyways, I ended up deciding I was going to go back because my husband said, "You need to go back." And I'm like, "I really want to." I would tell him I was going to meetings, and I would go drive around. There was this one meeting that I looked up. It was a women's noon meeting, and I never would go to it, but because by that time when I was using drugs and trying to go to a meeting, it was next to impossible. I just felt like a piece of crap, you know. And I thought everybody knew I was loaded. And anyways, that's an important part of my story. But anyways, I ended up going back, and when I went back, I did all my stuff before I left. Got all, you know, clean house, did all my stuff, got on the airplane, flew out there, so I'm loaded when I get there. I expected them to say, you know, what are you doing here? I expected negativity, and they said nothing but show me love. And so that was the first. And the other thing that I did was I requested a female counselor, because the first one had a male counselor, and that didn't go over too good. So I took care of myself. And then the other thing I did is I got honest with a girl that was in my room and let her know that I was loaded the day I got there. And then I was able to tell my counselor. And then later on, there was a point in time when I heard the counselors talking to somebody, and they were talking about how this one couple was going to get divorced, but it was their family week or whatever. And I thought in my head, you know, I could go home today. I don't know what's going on at home. You know, the first time I was just worried about losing my kids, and that's all I thought about was, you know, losing my kids. I wasn't worried about myself, you know? So when I went the second time and I heard them talking about that, I thought, you know, I could go home and my husband could just still tell me, you know, I'm done. So I decided at that point that no matter what happened, if I had my husband or my kids or whatever, that I was going to do this for me. And that's when everything changed in my mind. I was able to actually, you know, leave everything that was inside of me that I felt was ugly or whatever on the floor in that pile, in that room at that, you know, rehab, and leave it there and not drag that baggage home with me. And I was able to start working on myself. And when I got home, well, there was a girl that was in there. She wasn't an addict. She was a what do you call it? The spouse of an addict. So she was addicted to her husband. So she was in there, and she lived right around the corner from me, but we didn't know each other before rehab. And we became friends. And so when I got out a little bit before she got home. And I remember this one night I was really having a bad day, and she said, let's go to a meeting. And so she went to her meeting, and I went to my meeting, and then afterwards we talked. So that was kind of, you know, like a little safety net, because it was somebody I knew. Who knew me inside and out, you know? And I was able to go to that woman's meeting and meet those ladies in that woman's meeting, and they were so loving. I remember one time I was sharing at this meeting about some stuff that had happened to me when I was growing up, and she said, honey, you don't share that stuff in an open meeting. You share that stuff privately with your sponsor. And, you know, at first it felt really embarrassed, like, you know, why did she do that in front of everybody? But later on, she came up to me and she, you know, she loved on me and talked to me and told me, hey, you know, I just don't want to see you get hurt. So you've already had enough, you know, strife and stuff in your life and you don't anymore. So, you know, and those ladies are not alive anymore. But another really cool thing that happened was this one lady, her name was Lois, and I would like her, she was a sweet lady. She passed away, and I didn't know it. This was after I noticed at Mars, actually not that long ago, but her husband called me, and I guess he was in grief counseling, and he said that the grief counselors and the group was telling him to, you know, go through her phone book and talk to some of these people. So I was able to tell him, you know, how much she meant to me and what she did for me and, you know, in the program and stuff. Because he was sober, but he wasn't working a program. And so that was kind of cool. So then I had 10 months clean, and I moved from Ontario, we moved our whole area to the Central California, to Pixley. And right before I moved, my sponsor took me to Central Office down there, and we looked through this book of people that had for GSRs and, you know, the area up here where I was going to be. And we found this lady, her name was Donna, that was a GSR in Porterville. And then, so I called her when I first moved up here because I didn't know anybody here. And she met with me. We met at a park in Porterville.
I had my kids with me, and we just chatted, and she made me feel so comfortable, you know, and then she told me about the meet, Tuesday night women's meeting. That's kind of where I got my foot in the door and started going and, you know, working my program. But I don't know if I didn't have that, if I didn't have that little bit of leverage with that, if I would be sober today. But so I'm really grateful for that. I'm really grateful for the women in this program. So I got to celebrate. 2 months later, I got to celebrate my first AA birthday, and you know, it was different. You know, that was such a milestone at the time. Today, in October, I'll have 27 years. What a great time. You know, for me today, the spiritual program is, I mean, I always thought I had a relationship with God, but it's different for me today. My kids are grown. I have 8 grandkids. They're all my kids are married. We also have my niece living with us right now. She reminds me a lot of me when I was younger. It's been a roller coaster ride. I just hope whatever she sees in me, you know, she gets something out of it. But I am so grateful for this program. It has really helped me become the person that I am today, and I'm learning to really love myself, and I know God doesn't make junk, and you know, I have days where it's rough, but I have tools. You know, that's my main thing is, and I don't know about you guys, but I love real tools too, but to have the tools that I have in my toolbox today, you know, it's just awesome. I don't know how people could do life without them. I don't know what else to say. I'm just really grateful that my friends came and my husband came. I don't really like to talk in front of groups, but...
Well, you did a fine job.
So, thank you.
Yeah.
So, it open.
So what we generally do is go to the sharing portion of the meeting, but if you'll allow it, I would like to ask maybe if we have some questions. Just a couple of minutes. Is that okay? You don't have to.
Sure.
Okay. So if you have any questions, Linda, we'll take a couple minutes for that. I'll open it up, I'll just ask, are you working as a sponsor? Are you available to other women as a sponsor today?
I haven't worked with any alcoholics, really, but I mean, I do work with, like, a few people that I know as friends, you know, when they have issues or whatever, they call me up and ask me for not really advice, but, like, you know, what would I do? But I'm open to it.
Okay. Do you guys have any questions? Yes?
My name's Kyle. I'm an alcoholic.
Kyle?
Hello. Thank you, Linda, for your share. I just wanted to ask you, you say you have 27 years clean and sober. If you could pick 3 things that were paramount to your recovery or key to your recovery, what would they be?
The women in the program, so, like, you know, and a sponsor, and going to meetings, you know, as many meetings as you feel like, you know, and being able to choose the meetings that you want to go to, you know. Because I had gone to meetings before where I didn't feel comfortable, and realizing that I could pick a different meeting was a big deal, you know. So.
Thank you. Anyone online have a question for Linda before we go to the sharing portion?
Leah does.
Leah does. Okay, Leah, give it up.
The alcoholic, you said there was a, just curious, just. You said there was a meeting on Wednesday that you said you would say that you would go to, but you never really went to. I was just wondering, was that meeting at 7 p.m.?
She's got an agenda. She's trying to get you to come to our speaker meeting at 7 p.m.
But her question, I think, was, did you mention a meeting that you go to on, is it Wednesdays, or I thought it was Tuesdays?
Oh, the Tuesday women's meeting, Tuesday. That was, yeah, I should go to that one, probably in the, probably should start going to that one more. No, Wednesday nights I go to a spiritual meeting. It's called A Course in Miracles.
Oh, yeah.
So, one of my favorites.
Cool.
Thank you.
All right. So thank you, everybody, for your questions. Let's go ahead and move on over to the open discussion portion of the meeting.
Do you have a question?
Oh.
Pete?
I don't know.
I'll go in here.
Oh, okay.
So that everybody who is available to participate gets a chance to do that, I just ask you to please keep in mind the time that you use. But with that, this is a list of our participants. So our attendees in person are listed here. The ones online are here. And we usually try to involve both populations. And then these are some of our newer friends.
I'll pick Amber.
I know.
Okay, we're an alcoholic. Thank you, Linda, for your share. I love hearing when people have huge chunks of time. And it just reminds me it's so possible. People are doing it. I love hearing about that. It's just, yeah. And, you know what's funny? I'm 2 years, 7 months into my sobriety, and I'm learning so much about me lately. I feel like the layers pulled off, and the combination of busyness, and I'm really starting to see that. I don't think I knew that before, but I think knowing it, and then just like actually like, hey, that's when you're doing it. That's when you're doing it, you know? I love meetings, and I realize I sat down, and I almost don't want to settle down, you know, it's that restless mindset that I have, because I want those alcoholics to kind of have, I need to work on that too, you know, so, today I'm just really thankful, God seems to send me, good chunks just let me have it too, all at once. And I think if I were to see all the things I needed to work on all at once, I would have felt that way. You know, there was no way. My sponsor really started having me like really look at ego, like, how you guys see, you know. And to me, you know me, that's like, yeah, definitely something I need to work on. Steve Dizzy still be authentic, you know what I mean? Find that balance between like self-confidence and self-love, and then not being ego-driven. So if I'm ego-driven, I'm not living off my soul, I'm living my own will, right? I'm starting to see that too. And that like surrender, like what does surrender actually mean? We talk about it sometimes in the program. And for me, it means these things. The moment I become aware that I'm in my head, it's really good for me now. Health expert, brain expert, talk about it instead of being like, oh, my fucking mind, you know? I'm like, no, I just became aware, that's a win, that's a victory. And then I need to become more aware of how much I probably need to be more aware of in the present moment. It's given me a lot of peace. You know, I never had peace before. I woke up a couple months ago for the first time in my life. I didn't have crazy thoughts running through my head the moment I opened my eyes. And I literally sat up in bed and I looked around and there was fucking like, I didn't know what was happening. And I didn't know what was wrong actually until later on in the day. And I realized that's what happened. So today I'm thankful for the little bit of clarity I'm getting in my mind because it doesn't happen all at once. That inner side, instead of exercising, right, the exercise of now meditating more, and a lot of people that have a lot of years in the program, and I want to talk about that too. And today, I'm just really thankful for my tools, I talk about my tools. My tools, I run off of AA, but like, I'm always like, okay, what's wrong? Oh, I'm this. I'm constantly using my tools every single day. Leaning on God today more than I ever have. And it's crazy that I can go to church and I've been for years and years and years, and the program has really brought me to a really, real authentic, like,
you know, God-driven mindset. You know, every time I'm feeling restless, every even like work relationships, relationships like you that I have push on, people are maybe like, I'm making sense too. I don't know what I expected. You know, like maybe like kind of being a little aggressive at work about wanting to move up and stuff. Like, no, I need to. There's some things I don't need to be able to be innovative. I need to be time-caring, professional. You know, there's a difference there. So the program continues to change my life because it makes me think about things differently. Stuff will soak in a little bit more than I've heard over and over again. It starts to mean something different. It's crazy. It's almost like the Bible has to be there often. It'll mean something different as you continue to grow. So I'm so thankful for AA. I'm thankful for this meeting. I was cleaning my house, and I looked at my work schedule, and I have to write my schedule on my calendar in my kitchen these days, right? And I look up and I realize I'm not going to, because I close all week, I'm not going to make a meeting until maybe Thursday, if not Friday. So I was like, oh, I'm going to go. So thankful that regardless of what's going on, and I told myself to write first, I have my kids this week, and there was all sorts of other excuses I could have made, but I need this, I need my meeting, so just be current.
Yeah.
How about Randy?
I'm Daniel. Hey, Randy.
Hey.
Thank you for sharing. So you're saying, mentioning something about when you have came through your meetings and you came through about the drunk. So you were there intoxicated. Mm-hmm. So I did the same thing when it started to make me think. Right now, like, I did a little separate before I came on my sponsor, and so I have to sit here and I have to think about the true condition of myself, like, as alcoholic, like, untreated, you know, and so I've been living, I come in terms of, I've been living in delusion for 23 years, you know, that's more than half of my life, you know, that's how far I was into it, and it doesn't make an excuse, but I just have to understand that I was doing exactly like people say, that I annihilated everything, my relationships, my kids, my family, you know, and like, due to my condition, if I continue to not to do the steps, then that untreated condition could come back, you know, and I'm just thankful that I'm going through the steps, and I'm going through them thoroughly with a qualified sponsor, you know, and I'm thankful that I was able to even qualify myself as a real alcoholic, because in the beginning, I wasn't sure if I was alcoholic or if I was even in the right place. I just knew there was something wrong with me. You know, and so just like everybody else, I would go around. What I did understand from a long time ago is the spirituality. You know, I understand the emptiness that I was trying to feel, but I didn't know what it was. I didn't know why or how it got there. You know, so I'm just thankful today that I'm able to identify with you guys, with us, that we're here together for the same common problem. You know, and I'm also happy that also with you guys for being part of the solution. I'm very thankful for your sharing.
Right on, man.
How about Shelly
online? Everybody, I'm Shelly, and I am a recovering alcoholic. Great for at least be online tonight. I'm usually there at the meeting. Thank you for sharing with us. It's just good to know that, you know, we're, as alcoholics, we're all here to stay sober and to help someone else to achieve sobriety. And, you know, when I hear that someone has so much time, it just lets me know that the program, it works. You know, if we hang in there, we do what the program says do as it's mapped out. You know, we don't have to figure anything out. We just have to do the work. So it was good to hear you tonight. And I know there's a lot of people in the room there and online. So I'm going to pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you. How about Sam online?
Hi, everybody. I'm Sam, and I'm an alcoholic. You know, I really appreciate your share. I can really relate to, you know, really being appreciative of the women in this program. like Shelly, Amber, Leah, all these women have been like very supportive. You know, it's really refreshing to see that, because for me personally, in my addiction, like, women don't like each other. We don't talk to each other. I don't have anything to say. And, you know, in this program, you don't get that. You get more of like a sisterhood vibe, you know, and that's something that I've never had before. So I'm pushing 8 months. I'm a couple days away from 8 months, Lord willing. And, you know, I recently relocated back to Tulare, and I live with my grandma again. And today and yesterday are the first time in 4 years that both my daughter, I don't have all three yet, but both my daughters got to spend the day with me, spend the night with me. We all went to church this morning. And, you know, I'm genuinely like on cloud nine. Like there could be a million things that go wrong this week, but it started out with both my daughters at church this week. So, you know, it really wouldn't matter what went wrong. I'm super grateful for what this program has given me. You know, I took a picture with both my daughters this morning, and I realized that this is the biggest blessing that God and sobriety have given me. It's just being in the same room with them, taking them to church, brushing their hair, you know, just being their mom today. And, you know, and that's something I'm really grateful for. So, with that, that's all I got. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Cheryl H.
Oh my goodness. You did a fabulous job.
Thank you. Thank you.
I know you were nervous, but see, we're just one big happy family. That's it. Share our experience, strength, and hope with each other. I'm grateful to be sober. You know, we're not a club lot. They
said we insist on being happy. When I got sober, I thought maybe there was a chance, that I did not want to be an AA.
I did not want to be an alcoholic, and I didn't want to sit around with a bunch of old farts. Well, guess what? Here I am, an old fart, loving AA, and, you know, I did a lot of things that I didn't want to do, got a sponsor, got a book, went to meetings. I was okay with meetings. I didn't want to talk to a sponsor, and I sure as heck didn't want to work steps. But I had a little bit of look good, so I didn't want you guys to think of me as a bad person. So I got a sponsor, and God's got a sense of humor. She says, oh, we're going to get together and do step one. How about tomorrow? And I'm thinking, oh, my God, what have I got myself into? And, you know, today I'm grateful to be sober. There were a lot of older AA members with a lot of time when I got sober, and they never said anything. They'd sit in a meeting, and I used to say, please tell me what it's like to be sober that long. You know, tell us what's your day like today? And I don't know if there was some unwritten rule you know, they had to sit there and just be quiet. I'm not a quiet person. If I'm having a bad day, you're going to hear about it. A lot. You know, if I'm having a good day, you're going to hear about it. Because that's what sobriety is all about, is getting that stuff out so the healing can happen.
Right.
And, you know, I'm grateful to be sober. In April, I celebrated 42 years. Just one day at a time, one foot in front of the other. I have a sponsor. My sponsor has a sponsor, and I sponsor a lot of gals. You know, do I like everybody? No. Do I love everybody? By golly, you know, I do. My heart has just opened up. And I didn't want anything to do with this God thing when I got sober. And today that's all totally reversed itself. You know, you're talking about the ego. I went on a journey within sobriety years ago to find out about this ego they were talking about. The ego wants me dead. That's what I found out, bottom line. The ego wants me depressed, full of anxiety, doubting myself, believing I'm a failure. You know, that's all ego stuff. The God of my understanding loves me unconditionally. There's no conditions. The God of my understanding doesn't test me, because I would fail a test. All the God of my understanding wants is for me to be happy, joyous, free, carry the message of hope. There is hope here. You know, there's no limits on what we can do in sobriety. There's no limits. The ego wants us to think there's one that sits between our ears. You know, and I've learned to pay attention. The 12th step says we practice these principles in all of our affairs. And one of those affairs is when I wake up in the morning, instead of saying, oh shit, it's another day, I wake up in the morning and I say, thank you. I'm awake. I'm alive. And let's see what you've got in store for the day. And that's something that's a real big change to me. You know, is I don't hardly do anything without consulting my higher power. Life is good. I'm getting ready to fly to Colorado on Thursday. I've got a grandson graduating from high school. You know, and that's a miracle because when I got sober, it took 5 years before my older sons would have anything to do with me. You know, so miracles happen. Stick around. Wait for the miracle. Go to meetings. The gal was talking about how women don't like women or, you know, we don't want to talk to each other. You know what it is? It's real simple. It's fear. You know, we don't know it's fear, but it's fear. We're afraid of what somebody's going to say or what they're going to think or how they're going to act. And it's real simple. You know, there's really only two emotions, love and fear. And under that fear umbrella is a whole bunch of stuff that the ego just loves. So I want to encourage everybody to keep coming back. I'm grateful to be here because I'm a happy alcoholic today. What the hell?
How about Pedro?
Oh, well, you know, I'm too much. I think this is not perfect. And I try.
Okay.
Thank you for giving the opportunity. I have something in my hair right now. Okay, around my hair as well. Yesterday before I didn't go out. A program was. My girlfriend got how much problem right now outside. She just needed to do the screen and the throat. And she's crying and say maybe crazy. I need to kill myself, blah, blah, blah. Always something like this, so not doing nothing. Thank you, God, you know. But this time, I show you what nothing to do. You know, I said, wow. Hey, I don't know what you need to do. She said something, she said, no need to worry about living, and she needs to do it while she's thinking before, and she's not probably bad. Contacting with her. I don't know what happened. You know, need to go out. I'm happy right there. I'm feeling comfortable and I feeling very calm. And everybody right there calm me too much. And especially myself. Don't need to go out. I need help. I have 14 years when I started and started whatever drug coming I use and test, and now it's crystal. I had 20, almost 20 days free. For 23 years to start use a Pranta, crystal. So, all days, I'm stuck 1 month to month. 1.5, but go back, the same. The street and start doing the same, start go back. So, and I have 14 years for my girlfriend, even for her. I go to the one, the name is home to my father. There's one home here, and I don't know where. There is one house to my father. I stay there for 1.5 months. And she told me that I have a problem with the daughter and the son-in-law. So, and for now, the house, the her, the daughter, and fight with her. So she's too much something in the face and I'm feeling sad. So I need to go back for respect to her, for not say yourself on the street. And I start working, I work in fear in the field, picking orange. I love picking orange, you know? And Pero no, nothing how. I'm coming here, and she's used same, and then she goes to the bathroom or whatever, same or whatever, and I'm in front of me. Pero, you know, when you start right there, the money right there, you know, and start, you need to start 2 days, this week, whatever, you need to start 2 days and start. I'm like, I'm not ready. You start, it's fine. I pray for you start. But it's not, you know, help me. You know, help me in this course, so please. And she say, no, I'm not going to start right now. I told you, maybe 6 months before, I talked to her like this, when you coming back. 2 months, 2 days, 2 weeks pass, and the start use. You know what? Okay, give me the fucking thing. No? Start use. Start use, so, thank you back, and my family love me. My niece, everybody love me. And never give me the back. You know, always try looking for me, where you are. And my niece, I have one niece, she's my angel, you know? Always looking for me, everything, where you are. She said, how, come on, and all of that. I see one program in Miami, Florida, for you. I'm putting over there. I pay everything to you. I said, wow, no, no, it's cool, long, it's a long way. I need to stay here in my town. So I didn't go out, the town. So she's called and said, you know what, Tio? I need to wait 1 and a half for one bed for you. So I said, well, it's good. You know, and I started looking more and more and in this program. And I done this program, paying. I'm fine. I like it, and I then say, hey, Tio, I found the one program. When I go inside, I like to go inside, and I look at how they work in the director. I'm very comfortable with you. You think you do it good right there. You need to see. It's okay, Mija. Wow. Me call my girlfriend. And then, so when I talk to my girlfriend, hey, I gotta go for whatever program, she said, start. You mean impossible. And we go start talking, talking shit to me, and go to the street talking, we walk and sit in the truck talking shit, and hey, leave me alone, or please help me. And my niece passed right there, I said, come on, Tio, come listen, come on. And my girlfriend go to the truck, to her, you know, goodbye, Mija, go, tomorrow. Always my life like this with my girlfriend. She's, too much jealous, so I don't know what happened. It's crazy, maybe, you know? And never give me go. Always fight with me for when you need one decision like that, so. They said, go, and tomorrow I go to you, Richard. So I go to you, pick me up. I said, okay, Tio. Yeah, I go back to my girlfriend in the truck. When she's parking in one street with one friend. Next day, in the morning, I wait and don't say nothing to her. You know, I know it's hard for her. They don't know how to me. I go out for my niece and give me right and look at the program. And yeah, when I go there, I say, wow, it's different. No, it's different. The door, no, nobody say, hey, you don't need to go out. The door is open, wherever you need to go. It's crazy. When now, don't need to go, the door is open. You know, when you go, different program is closed, don't need to go for 1 month or 2 months. And you need to start thinking, I need to go and go out. So I like this program, but this thing I have my hair to my right now, something. I don't know why we do it. I talked to him the other day, 3 days before, I need to go out. And the same will happen. So my girlfriend has something in the storage, and I forgot that she need to pay. For the seminar there, she's not paying, I need to work and pay. They say, why don't you teach me go 1 week, 2 weeks, start working, pay whatever she need to pay, and go put it in the front of the gross, and we go back to here. No, I need to talk to the boss, David. And so what you say, I took to jam today, my concert. What happened to her? And I say, well, it's hard, you know, it's hard. Why this problem that you have? So if you go, you lose everything that you have right now. You start again, and I don't know if accept you again. Mm-hmm. Well, well, I don't know what you say. I don't know why. What happened. Why give me that? A solution later, you know?
Yeah, hey, Pedro, you know what? You should stay and talk to some of us after the meeting. We can tell you about what's been working for us, okay?
Wow.
Thank you for sharing.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Stay with us and talk.
This is my story, you know?
Yeah. It's
not finished, but you have. You know?
Wow. Wow.
Well, me to share now, huh? There's bully in the room. I'm an alcoholic husband, and you know, I heard a theme starting earlier about thanking the women in the room, and you know what? I got to tell you, I'm really grateful to the women in AA. I grew up with three sisters and a couple of aunts, and a really angry dad. And I was afraid of guys. If you want to know the truth, I was afraid of men. I wasn't about to get vulnerable with any of the men in these rooms. And I met people like Cheryl very early on, and Danette, and some other strong women, and Annetta, who were living sober and showing how to serve the fellowship. And I learned a lot just by watching. You set a great example, both of you do, and you know what happened for me is I found that I could find some safety here, mostly as a result of kind of nudging up against the women, because I was afraid of the guys. And what happened over a fairly short period of time is I got the courage up to go to a men's meeting, and I was really afraid to do that. I had all kinds of ideas in my mind about what men were about based on my relationship with my father. And if any of you know me, you've heard me talk a lot, because I talk a lot about my relationship with my father and how miraculous changes have taken place in that relationship. I told you I was afraid of it. I was, when I got here and, you know, there was about a year and a half of nonsense that I went through. Where I was going to meetings, I had a sponsor here and there. They didn't always know they were my sponsor, you know. And I wasn't working any steps. And I was going to meetings largely because that was the requirement for me to participate in my family's events. And that was important to me. And I tried doing the whole, you know, I'll drink when I'm not around my family. And then when I'm around my family, I'll be sober. And I didn't manage that line very well. So I was getting kind of blurry, you know, and I kept getting in trouble. So I met a guy named Paul, and actually, to the truth, I met his wife first. His wife was Shelley. And Shelley said to me, you know, you should really ask Paul to be your sponsor. And Shelley was nice. And she was pretty, right? I mean, I wasn't hitting on her or nothing, but she was easy to talk to. And when she said I should ask her husband to be my sponsor, I kind of thought, you know, maybe I'll give that a try. And he wanted to talk about going through the steps, and he was giving me these pages to read, these questions to answer. And it was, in retrospect, he gave me a very simple task to do. And I was afraid. And so I didn't do it. I didn't do it for 128 days. I stayed sober for 128 days. I did not do any of the things he asked me to do. I didn't read the book and write the answers to the questions. And on day 129, I got voted. So it happened to me. And on what would have been like day 134, you know, 3 or 4 days into the drinking spree, I forgot that I had resigned from AA. My alarm clock went off in the morning, and I'd been trained. My feet had been trained. I got up, and I went to the stupid Lotto Club meeting that morning. I didn't have any plans on getting or staying sober. I went there because it didn't occur to me not to go, because I just had a routine. And they asked me to read the stupid daily reflections that day, and I get halfway through it, and I start crying in front of a bunch of strangers. and I admit to them that I drank again. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to keep that secret. And I called Paul, and I told him he better sit down because I had some disturbing news for him. And he wasn't even surprised. He wasn't surprised that I've been drinking. And I said, man, I'll do anything. I will do anything to live sober. And he said, well, you're going to have to show me. And I said, anything, man. Tell me what to do. And he said, well, 928 years ago, I gave you two questions to answer. So set you free. He said, why don't you start there? And he asked me to make a commitment. He asked me to make a commitment to no less than 5 minutes every single day with a piece of paper and a pencil in my hand. And I was supposed to either write the answers to the questions, or if I finished that, to write whatever it is that came out of that pencil. And sometimes, you know, the best thing that came out of the pencil was F. U. Paul. Because I didn't like anybody telling me what to do.
Right.
But I did it. And there were nights there would be things come out of the end of that pencil, and I would read it, and I would think, where did that come from? And if, you know what? Not always. Our book cautions us not to be foolish enough to believe everything we think, right? But there were times when out of that pencil would come some different perspective on the situation I was struggling with that I had never considered before. And I would talk to Paul about it. And over the period of the next 12 months, in fact, it was right about my first anniversary that I had finished the 12-step assignment that he'd given me. And I don't know if you're supposed to go through 12 steps in 12 months. I don't think some people would survive 12 months if they took that long. Other people might be longer. I don't know. I don't know what you need. I'm just telling you that's what happened to me. And in the course of those 12 months, everybody changed. Or so I thought. And, you know, Paul let me in on a little secret. The reality was that no one had changed except me. And that's like 34 days and 17 years ago that journey started. And I'm not the man that I was when I walked in here. I walked in here, you know what, Pedro? I walked in here with a story very much like yours. Crazy woman, crazy boss, stupid people, neighbors, whatever. I mean, everything was a problem. And you know what? Here's the thing. Those people still exist, but they don't ruin my life the way they used to. And I've learned that the process of amends is not about saying I'm sorry. It's about making change. And that change is difficult to make sometimes. Like you ever find yourself in a job that's like a go nowhere job that's not good for you? And the correct change to make would be to get another job. And I don't know about you guys, but man, if I got a job, I ain't got time to be looking for a job. Even when I need to be looking for a job, you know? And then I lose my job, and then I got like all the time in the world to find a job. And you know what? I still don't want to find a job. And I've been able to survive through some periods of unemployment during that period of sobriety. I believe wholeheartedly, completely, without any reservation, that there is a power with no limitations in this universe. And I believe that power wants for my well-being. I think that power wants me to be happy, to tell you the truth. I really do. And the evidence that I have for that are the moments of just sheer joy that I get to experience as a result of doing the stuff that you guys have taught me how to do. I don't deserve the life I have, but man, I enjoy it. And yes, I still have people that piss me off. And I still make mistakes and do stupid things and have to go back and set those things right. But you know what? I got a plan. I got a plan today. When I'm done suffering, because that's what I choose to do, life is good again. I just got back from Los Angeles. My wife and David went and we sat through 12 different speakers, 13 different speakers, I don't know, anyway, a bunch of different speakers. And they talked about their experience with each of the steps. And that's like going to an NBA game for me. You know? Man, I love the life you guys gave me. Thank you so much. And thank you for being here.
That guy that was at the desk, he told me something really profound that night. He said, he asked me two questions. He said, where are you? And I looked around and I said, Palomar was at the Rita place. And he says, no, you're here, right? You're right. You're here. And he asked me what time it was. And I looked at my watch and told him what time it was. And he said, no, it's now. You need to just remember those two things. You're right here, right now. And I didn't get it at that time. But, you know, it stuck with me. It's one of those things that just, you know, you just keep in the back of your mind and you're like, oh, okay. So that was really important to me. Erica.
Erica.
Oh, thank you so much for your share.
I have a similar experience. And, you know, I actually found success with AA in rehab. So that was, you know, a huge part of my recovery. I don't know where I would be if I had taken the step just to get clarity. You know, remove myself from using the drinking and then finding my true solution with the 12 steps after 4 months of rehab. I was lucky enough to have journalism sponsored. And I remember I asked her, you know, to be my sponsor. She said, yeah, if you want to work the steps. And I was like, okay. And, you know, I made a lot of mistakes after that, but I just kept moving forward, kept working with people. You know, I moved for a little bit, and that was like a bad decision, and I came back, and I just continued on with AA. I was lucky enough to have a woman reach out to me while I had moved to Arkansas for a little bit, and she just randomly texted me, like, hey, how are you doing? I was like, not great. I'm coming back to California. Like, she was like, come to a meeting, you know, when you get back, and it was just, like, a perfect, you know, beginning to my AA story, kind of. I met my next sponsor after that, and we just, you know, got right into the work, and I met my husband after that, you know, in the room of AA. So, I mean, I just, you know, this next few years are going to be a true test of his and my character. He's a mother of his sexual law school.
Oh, wow.
And I'm exciting, and it's so terrifying. He's so busy, and it's going to be stressful. And, you know, he's already like, you're going to go to the meeting tonight? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go. I'm not really serious about this. I mean, God forbid I, you know, end up taking a drink because I'm, you know, the true nature of my disease comes out because I'm just slacking, because I feel like I don't have the time for myself, you know, and then what would we have? We would have nothing, you know, to take care of our kids while you're at law school, you know, it's just everything on purpose. So it's something I have to keep in the back of my head, and I'm just so thankful to the Rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm grateful to be here. So thank you guys. Is there somebody that wants to share, either online or here?
My name's Kyle, an alcoholic.
Hey, Kyle.
Thank you, Linda, for your share. I just want to say today is different from what it was like 5 months ago. You know, I was sleeping in front of a Safe Mart, not knowing where I was going to get my next meal. But in the process of recovery, you know, I've been able to establish a relationship with my parents that we've never had anything like that. I live an inspired life today. It's important for me to show up to these rooms and be present for my recovery. You know, to be inspired is my motivation to keep going. And to hear you say you have 27 years, you know, that's one of the dreams of mine is to have long-term sobriety, something like that, you know, would be nice. You know, I had those dreams today, you know. When I was out on the street, I didn't have dreams anymore. You know, I didn't think any of that would ever be possible. You know, on my own, I couldn't do it. You know, it took a higher power to separate me from alcohol, you know. My son wasn't enough. The love I had for my son wasn't enough. The love I had for my family wasn't enough. I didn't love myself enough to want to do it. You know, so being separated from alcohol and being given a chance to go to prime recovery. You know, when I first got there, I didn't want to be there. I had to be there. a little while longer, I feel like I needed to be there. And then a little while longer, I actually wanted to be there. I'm happy to be there. You know, I can't wait to go there to be inspired, you know, and maybe inspire someone else. That's all I got. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll just say one thing. I'm so shocked I'm sitting here because my part of my past is sitting with many blinds and all these windows are open and I'm sitting here still. I've been filming for 22 years.
Yeah.
The whole stuff, right. I'm like, I have these many blinds and they're outside. You know, I used to go to Florida and used to close all the blinds and congratulations. Okay. I've never heard you speak that much. I know you. It was just really great that I sat still, but I'm like, you know, just some of those stuff is still there. The psychosis. And you think it's by working stuff is gone? Come back, right? You know? Yeah, so they were outside. They were watching me inside. How was that for? You know, it took me 8 years for that psychosis to go away. Then it comes right back. And there's no, I don't even have my windows at home open. They're midlines. So I'm sitting in a strange town in Visalia, and I'm thinking, God, I just want to go home.
Thank you for your share.
Thank you.
I thought, you know, to me, kind of be once I'm in the program and climbing the ladder and having to hold people accountable and see the tattletale going on and, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. Fear of that, you know, but now I'm in a place where it's nothing, you know? It's,
yeah.
You know, and I know her husband. And in fact, we were out on the streets together, like, I needed a lawyer. that's motivation for me right there, like that. I can't believe it, man. That's like awesome. I mean, I know that if anybody can read, they can do anything in the world, you know, which is awesome. And I ran into him at meetings or whatever on the street, you know. Now he's just telling me that I need it in that book. And it's, I got an awakening book. And it's an awakening. And I just can't wait to get, you know, out of the program to talk to my mom, because she was always going to meetings and always trying to get me to stay in the meeting, stay inside, lost with a cigarette. And I just appreciate everybody, you know, everybody's words, you know. Even people that ignore my jokes, and, you know. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Carol
Spence.
Don't
be the self America laughing. Yeah.
Go ahead.
This is Jim, Governor Alcoholics. Hey, Governor. This is Jim, Governor Alcoholics. This is, it's been a long time, a while since I've been at Anderson Jane to do the job we used to have. I'm working on Barry. So I would just do Zoom in other rooms as well. You know what they say, in recovery, you know, we gotta change one thing and that's everything, you know? So I made a big step and I decided to quit my job. But I got another job before that I couldn't have. I didn't just do it like that. And one thing I did do, I put my 2 week notice in.
Yeah.
I told him, and my boss wished me the best. He gave me $400 bonus, and he said, if stuff don't work out, I can always call him back and see where we're at, and I'm like, it's gonna work out. So I got the bottom upside, you know? And I stayed, and I got motivation.
There we go.
Hey, yo, this time around, what I did was, I got a sponsor, I'm working on my 10th step, and, you know, I got my kids in my life. I got so much blessings in somebody. It's amazing. It's amazing. I just got back from a trip to make his brother with family, spent 3 days over there. And every time that my family plans something, what do you do that? Or that, you know? My mom's always having a life, and you know what I mean? Oh, it's at work today, just enough. But she was, I was in my aim, you know what I mean? She was just ashamed to say it, you know? And now, you know, it feels amazing, and I'm grateful that, you know, I'm a rich man more than I'd like to admit, but I'm blessed. I'm blessed to say that I was able to make it back. You know, because a lot of us, we all know people that got back out and haven't made it back. You know, sadly, but truly. And you know what? I believe that I use today is that, you know, it doesn't matter how much, you know, sobriety time you got, you know, because yesterday's already passed.
Sure.
And tomorrow's a mystery, you know. So as long as I focus myself on today, you know, it's like the book says we get a daily repeat based on the contingency of our spiritual fitness, or the spiritual, you guys know what I'm saying, right? But that means before my leg hits the floor, I'm already prayed up, taking God for another day, and asking Him for the courage and the strength to stay sober for just today. You know, as long as I practice that every day of my life, I'll be okay. Stay away from people, places, and things. And say, you guys are my supporters, man. I love all you guys. You guys are a big part of my recovery. And that's why, you know, I let go of my job, even though it was good money. But, you know, I don't focus on how much money I'm going to make tomorrow or this and that, because I'm also going to provide for me. That's my higher power. You never abandon me in my addiction or my alcoholism. I'm abandoning it. So that's all I got. Thank you.
We have 3 minutes left if somebody would like to fill that time.
My name is Gino, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Gino.
Yeah, today I'm blessed. Linda, thank you for your shares, everyone. It's truly a blessing to be in these rooms. I'm finally realizing that, you know, so many try, you know, I'm lucky to be alive in these rooms. Lucky to have brothers like Pedro.
Yeah.
You know, all these brothers that find, you know, we lift each other up. You know, Victor, like Victor said, you know, we have today. You know, that's what I focus on. You know, just for today. You know, it's like he said, I mean, you know, for me, I you know, morning, that's what I spend. Is I, you know, I pray. You know, my one of my old sponsors, he had me memorize the first step prayer, the seventh step prayer. So I pray those two every morning upon awakening. You know, along with some other prayers, but that helps me in the morning every day. You know, I'm committed to make that. Those prayers in the morning, every day, those help me, you know, throughout the day. And at the end of the night, I reflect, you know, and see how I can get better, you know, next day. And that's what helps me. I mean, the steps, I got a new sponsor, and I had to get rid of my old sponsor. But he understood. Things turned out. He goes, yeah, you know, he told me that was a good idea. It turned out good. I thought it was going to be, you know, I thought he was going to have a presence and everything. But it turned out sad, you know. But then I was saying,
hey, Randy, why don't you take just a minute and tell us about this basket?
Yes.
Tell us what's in the basket. The
basket, it's just some, so it's a, the subject is heavy. The reading basket, has a book right there with some meditation stuff in it. It has, a couple, we call it aroma stuff. It has,